Well, thank you, Sister Johnson. Amen. I'm glad the Lord is like a good shepherd to us. Amen. I want you to open your Bible to the book of Job this morning. If you get to Psalms, go on over to your left and pick up the book of Job. Just about everybody has heard something about Job. And this morning I'm going to speak to you on the subject of Job's questionnaire. And you know who gave him the questionnaire? God. Job chapter 38. We'll just kind of scratch the surface on it a little bit this morning. And how many of you enjoy taking a test, huh? These college students don't, but God gave Job a test. And now here at the end, he's giving him a questionnaire, and I want to tell you something. Job couldn't pass it. Neither could we. Today, the latest science still can't answer the questions that God asked Job here in chapter 38. I wish I had time to go through some of them, but I will not have that much time. But I want you to pick it up in chapter 38, verse 1. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Where wast thou when I laid the foundation of the earth? Declare it, if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Or who shut up the sea with doors, when it brake forth, as if it had issued out of the womb? When I made the cloud the garment thereof, and the thick darkness a swaddling band for it, and break up for it my decreed place, and set bars and doors, and said, Hitherto shalt thou come, but no further. And here shalt thy proud waves be stayed." I'm going to stop there. He's basically saying, how come the sea don't just keep on coming? He said, I put bars you don't understand about. I shut the door you don't understand. And all these things that he just asked Job, and it goes on into the chapter, science can't answer today. So-called science. You can only answer it from the Word of God. And that is, God did it. Amen. Now, you know the context of Job. Job had suffering. He had trouble. Satan moved against him, and Job didn't understand. And much of Job's argument, he thinks God is doing it to him. And it's a sad story. It's a suffering story. He lost his family. He lost his wealth. He lost his health. He lost it all. And then his friends came. Now, with friends like that, you don't need enemies. They came and sat around him and criticized and wanted to find out what his secret sin was, that God was so punishing him for it. And of course, they were wrong. Now, God has long patience. He kept waiting and listening to all the talk. He heard what Job had to say. He heard what his friends had to say. And then we read here in the verse, who are these that speak words without knowledge? They didn't know what they were talking about. They didn't totally understand. Oh, they said some good things, and they made some good judgment calls here and there, but they were so far away from the truth of God. And in our day and time, we are hearing a lot of words without understanding. I mean, we're hearing this very thing. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 over there, speaking of men and speaking of our age, ever learning, and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's where we're at, folks. I can't believe how bad it's gotten in so many ways. You know, every working group has their little jokes, and I see our world today. Used to be I worked in a mechanic shop when I was a young man, and there was a little sign on the wall that said, "Be sure brain is in gear before engaging clutch." You know what a clutch is. And I'm thinking about America right now. Our brain's not in gear, and the clutch is engaged, and it's running crazy right and left, every way that you want to turn. Ever learning, as the Bible says, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. I saw where the governor of South Dakota and some of the other governors, they're turned over to a reprobate mind. I hate to say it. The state I was born in, Governor Deal up there, caving in to the pressure. they had some good bills passed keeping men out of ladies' restrooms. That's so much common sense. How can you believe it could be any other way? And yet he vetoed the bill. Now, I hope they can override him a little bit. North Carolina is sticking with it. However, Governor Cuomo up in New York is saying he's forbidding his folks to go to North Carolina because they're discriminating. Won't let the men in the women's restroom. That's hard to believe for an old guy like me that's been around. I remember when your head would have been in trouble, brother, if you'd have went in the ladies' room and demanded you had a right. And down south, some old rednecks might have just taken care of you. And I think God would have patted his foot and said, amen. There's just some things that just amaze me that's going on today. Reprobate mind is what the Bible calls it in Romans chapter 1, and that's what it is. Out in a Texas school district right now, they're having to have the ball players, athletes, bring in their birth certificates to prove they're a boy or a girl. That's the cons that's going on. Hard to believe. Did you see a flash on the news, one of the colleges somewhere, where the ROTC, that's the military training group in the college, dressed in the military outfits, but they want them to feel for the mixed up gender, neutral gender. So they made them walk around, roll up the pant leg, and walk around in pink high heel shoes. Now, what bothers me about that is I just don't believe you could make me do that. I just can't quite understand how those boys would bow to that. I know great pressure on them. It didn't show their faces, but the camera was showing their legs, walking around with pink shoes, high heel pink shoes, so they would know how the mixed up gender, the neutral gender felt. I don't need to know how they felt. I need to know how I feel. I need to know what God says about that dirty filth. That's what we need. Listen, we still should be a Christian nation. I cut this little thing out here, and this was something the Supreme Court ruled on way back 1895, repeated again in 1934, and the decision of the Supreme Court, somebody brought some kind of case, some nut did, and they ruled that America is a Christian nation, and that's never been overturned. Now, our president's tried to overturn it by himself. Help yourself. The door let you out that let you in. President Obama made this statement in 2006, we are no longer just a Christian nation. We are also a Jewish nation, a Muslim nation, a Buddhist nation, a Hindu nation, and a nation of non-believers. No, we are a Christian nation. That's what our founding fathers said we were. And just because some others get in, whether they come in legally, illegally, over the fence, under the fence, or through the river, that don't change what kind of nation we were founded on. Amen? It's amazing. If you're going to change it for that reason, then let me tell you something. We're a Nazi nation. We got a few of those. We're a queer nation. We got a few of those. We're a satanic nation. We got some satanic cults. We're a communist nation. We've got some communists in America. No, we're not. We're a Christian nation, just like the Supreme Court said. But you know what gets me? What amazes me is how absurd and how ridiculous this thing has gotten to be. It's just amazing. Now, God said to Job here, he's straightening him out. He takes him through this questionnaire, and he says to him finally, if thou knowest, in other words, what do you know? Who do you think you are? And the truth is, man is always able to ask more questions than he can answer. We're all good at that. Any of you got kids, you remember the questions they used to ask? And you'd answer them, and they'd say, why? And then they'd say, you say, why'd you do that? Cause. Had no cause, but we learned how to say cause. We learned how to say why. And I look around today and see we're more stupid than the kids in a lot of ways. Man can ask a lot of questions, and like kids, sometimes they get the wrong conclusion. I think about the mother that kept hearing the little boy say, "Mama, where'd we come from? Where'd we come from?" And she said, he said, "Who made us?" "Well, God made us." "Well, what do you make us out of?" "Well, he made us out of dust." Well, that's somewhat scriptural. Directly, the little boy came down from upstairs, hollered, "Mama, Mama, I looked on the bed and somebody's either going or coming." Dust. Amen. We're just about that dumb in some ways. But I want to say some things to you this morning. I want to say here, God was giving Job some questions. He was saying to him, "If thou knowest," if you know where, how I formed the earth, how I laid the foundations, how I did this and how I done that. And he asked many questions. You go through that whole chapter, it's tremendous. And even science today can only answer a few of those questions that was asked. And let me say this to you, parents, and to all of us, it's okay sometimes to say, "I don't know." You don't always have to think you know everything. I'm asked as a pastor so many times, so many things. And some folks are very disappointed sometimes when I just look at them and say, "I don't know." I'm going to be honest about it. I'm not going to shoot from the hip if I don't. Amen. Somebody says, "Who's going to win the election?" One gets the most votes. Maybe. Maybe. That used to be the truth. Maybe. Can't even answer it right anymore. My fears is that it won't be a man. Now, you help yourself. Anyway, how far is God going to let this evil go? I don't know. I'm already surprised at his long-suffering. I am surprised to the point of being amazed that he can see his name blasphemed, his word destroyed, ridiculed, mocked. I am surprised at his long-suffering, but that's what he is. He is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. He keeps on giving chances, giving another try, another opportunity. But you know, Job here couldn't answer it all, but some things he did know, no doubt about that. And you and I know some things, and we ought to be really willing to share them, willing to witness for what we know. Listen, I have salvation guaranteed because I have God's word on it. That's my assurance. Say, "How you know you're saved? You think you're good enough?" "No, I think I'm so bad I had to get somebody else to be good enough for me." And that's where Jesus came in. Amen. And I'm assured of salvation because of him. The Bible says, "These things have I written unto you." Well, that's the book. "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may," what? "Know that you have eternal life." Man, it's a no-so salvation, not a hope-so. Amen. A no-so. And thank God for that. Now, Job knew that. Job said over here in Job 23, he said, "I esteemed thy word," God's word. He said, "I esteemed it higher than my necessary food." That's what Job thought. And through it all, Job still knew that he had a Redeemer, that his sins were going to be taken care of, that one day it was going to come out right. You know, you can know you're saved. Thank God I know it. There's evidences of it. When I got saved, some changes began to come on me. A lot of things changed. I started loving what I didn't love before, hating what I didn't hate before. Made a difference, made a switch. When I came to church, I came like some of you did this morning. I came to be a critic. I didn't want to come. I came because the girl said, "I won't go nowhere else with you." So I came and I listened, and in my heart, I criticized. I didn't like the song leader, Brother Cruz. I thought he was showing off in front of the women. That's right. That's what I thought about him. Later on, became one of the best friends I ever had. But I had to do a switch. He didn't do a switch. I did a switch. I got changed. I met Jesus. My taste changed. I didn't care for the music. Then I fell in love with it. I didn't care for the preacher. Then I fell in love with what he was preaching, the word of God and the truth, and begin to see things and feel things differently when I got saved. And the Bible says that we can know we've passed from death unto life because we what? Love the brethren. Now listen to me, believers. You don't love the brother too much if you gossip about him. One lady said, I'm going to swap in my vacuum cleaner for a telephone. I can pick up more dirt that way. Now, today we change that a little bit. I swap in my vacuum cleaner for Facebook. I can pick up more dirt that way. Amen? Amen and amen. Anyway, truth of the matter is, when you get saved, you do a switch. You can forgive the brethren where you couldn't. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth. You do me, I do you. I'll get you before you get me attitude. That's much of the world out there. But when you get saved, there's a difference. And you know it because it's changes that start happening. For one thing, inside changes. If you don't get changed from the inside out, you didn't get changed. You get right on the inside, the outside will start reflecting it. There'll be some signs go up that people will know something happened to you. I think about it. I was driving my hot rods and had a crew of mechanics and friends and so forth. And I still drove a little while after I got saved. And they said, something happened to him. He's not as aggressive as he was. He's not as quick to fly off the handle as he was. All those things. And you know what they said? They said, it's that girl he met. Well, it wasn't the girl I met. It was Jesus that she knew, that she introduced me to. That was where the difference come, brother. And we can see those differences. But from the inside, the Bible says in Romans 8 that his spirit, the spirit itself, beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. There's a witness on the inside when the Holy Spirit moves in, brother. That makes a difference and changes your taste. And all of that is good, but the best way I know I'm saved is I know that Jesus took the sins I had on me, which called for the judgment of God. He took them on himself so I could go free. He paid the price for me. Amen. That's how I know. That's my sin debt's been paid. My sins that would take me to hell no longer, because he paid it off for me. The Bible says in Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way, and the Lord have laid on him the iniquity of us all. All, paid it all to him we owe. Now Job knew that. He said, my Redeemer liveth. Redeemer means one that's bought you back. Sold unto sin, but redeemed, bought back. The mortgage paid off, if you please. Job knew that. So Job did know some things. Job knew it paid to trust God. I wonder how many believers today still trying to find out if it pays to serve God. Book of Malachi said it ended up, the Old Testament ended up, with the Jewish nation, some of them questioning, does it pay to serve God? Oh, I want to testify this morning it does. It does. Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Job knew that no matter where, I can understand it. I don't know where the suffering came from. At that time, he knew nothing about the devil bringing it upon him and God allowing it. Now, he didn't know he was taking a test. He was in the middle of the test, but he didn't know about it. And yet he said, though he slay me, I can't understand it, yet will I trust him. And folks, that is a big key to living the Christian life. Did you know that? Trust God when you don't understand. I say to men out there this morning listening to me, trust that if you'll serve God, it'll go better with you. It'll go better with your family. It'll go better with your kids. It'll go better with your finances. It'll go better with everything in life if you'll trust God anyhow. Even when you may not totally understand. I mentioned finances. I know a man, he worked really hard. He's older now, but still does. And he became a millionaire, and he earned it the right way. And during all that time, gave so much to the cause of Christ. But you know what? The world is out there now to get you. And if they think you got any money, you're a deep pocket, and they'll sue you over spitting on the sidewalk. If an insurance comes, the whole nine yards, you know what's going on. Sue happy society today, no doubt about it. And they sued him for big bucks, this millionaire. And he done really nothing wrong, but some little technicality, they thought they had a lawsuit, and they sued. And he told me, he said, you know, said, when I had to go to court, he said, I got up that morning at 4 a.m. He said, I'd been praying. But he said, finally at 4 a.m. that morning, before I was supposed to go to court, he said, I went and got my Bible and got on my knees before God. And he said, something dawned on me. He said, Lord, you know, you helped me earn this money. You know what I've done with it. And Lord, it just occurred to me, it all belongs to you. And if you want them to have it, okay. And if not, you help the judge make the right decision this morning. Went on to court. He said, I went to court with peace in my heart. The decision came down for him. He won. But he said, I'd made up my mind. It's all God's. It's all God's. And I'll tell you something. When you get to that place, you'd have peace about it. You can trust the Lord. Job said, I trust him though he slay me. Young people, you can trust him with your life. I wish I could just undo the lid on some young people's heads and just pour in some truth that who really does love you. It's not your friends out there trying to get you to take a shot of something. It's not your friends out there trying to get you to do wrong immorally. Your parents that love you, your pastor that loves you, God loves you, and they've got the best for you. Why do you think it's better to jump the fence and go the devil's way? You think, nobody treats me right. Nobody loves me. Yes, somebody does. But the crowd you think loves you don't. They're going to use you. They're going to abuse you. They're going to mess you up. And it's just trust God with it. And the biggest thing kids have a problem with is waiting on God. Listen, marriage is a good thing if you do it at the right time with the partner God brought to you. It's a bad thing if the devil slips you in a decoy, if he slips you in a counterfeit and gets you to do something ahead of time. Oh, yeah, God brought in the first marriage and his blessing is on it when it's right. Somebody said, marriage is made in heaven. I've known some made in hell, brother. And the truth of the matter is the devil wants you to get that one and destroy your life because you can't wait. Can't wait to be discovered. Can't wait to get the attention. Can't wait to have your way. Oh, my Bible tells me they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Waiting may be hard on the flesh, but it's showing you trust God. And Job trusted him. Trusted him. You know, Job knew some things. He knew he was saved. He knew it paid to trust God. And he knew he was coming again. I mentioned the verse, Job 19:25. Job over there said, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and get the rest of it, and that he'll stand on the earth in the latter time. That's the second coming of Christ. Job knew it wasn't over down here, that the Lord was not through, that he was coming back. And I want to say to you, that's the Christian's blessed hope right now. I can't tell you who's going to win our election or whether it'll be better or worse. So far, most of the time, it's been worse. But I can tell you I got a blessed hope that Jesus is coming. In the meantime, I'm going to trust him as I wait on him. I'm going to try to serve him as I wait on him. Blessed hope that he's going to return. I know nuclear wars in the news right now. I talked some in Sunday school about it out of Ezekiel 36 through 38 there. And I know that crazy nut in Korea is trying to arm his missiles. I know Russia's doing some tricks. Do you understand Russia seems to be testing us a little bit right now? They believe we got a weak leader, and so do I. But they're testing us. They've got those big bombers, Bearcat bombers, the biggest planes in the world. And they've flown to the borders of America and had our jets have to scramble and get up. Over and over they've been doing that. That's the bombers that carry the nuclear bombs. And they keep coming, and then we turn them back. Little test. One day, they may not stop coming. Done the same thing with England, with the British over there, same thing with us. You say, well, what do you think? I think one day they're going to do just what the Bible says, and there's going to be a nuclear war in the same countries that you're hearing about in the news right now, Iran and all that crowd over there, Syria, and all that whole bunch is involved in it. And all that is going to come because the Bible says that it is. And the little old test running now, yeah, I understand. But America's hope's not in our military. We've about abused our military to pieces anyhow. I was talking with one of our brothers, a veteran, this morning. It's a shame. We send our boys over there to lose life and limb for no cause, hardly at all. It is amazing what we've done there, and mistreat them then when they get back, and all of that business. It's too bad. And yeah, I'd like to see a new leader take our military back up and all that, but that's not where my hope is. My hope's like Job. It's in the Redeemer. My Redeemer's coming back. You go to the end of Job. I just have to do it for time's sake. Just tell you, Job's end turned out well. Don't do it now. Listen to me. I'll summarize it. His end turned out, he got doubled his wealth back, got his health back, even got his kids back. You say, no, they were dead. Yeah, they still doubled them. Because the kids that died we'll just say it this way, the kids that died were in heaven. So God gave him an equal number again. So now he got twice. He's got them on earth again, got them in heaven, so he still got twice as many kids. Read your Bible. You prove that out. I'm just saying to you, God blessed him in the end, but he had to walk by faith. He didn't have the understanding. He actually thought God was his enemy for a while. But still in all that, he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. He was still trusting all the way. And the Bible says he didn't charge God foolishly. My, he went through it. But God carried him through it. And Job trusted him. You know, Job couldn't answer all the questions to this test. Chapter 38, we still can't answer them today. I say to you this, though, you can get an answer from it. And that answer is this. The big question is, do you have a Redeemer that you trust like Job did? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ, your Redeemer? We're redeemed, the Bible says, not by silver and gold, but by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Have you been redeemed by him? God sent his Son to die on the cross of Calvary to pay for your sins, that you might have eternal life as a gift. Have you ever received him? If you have received him, are you living for him? That's the big question. Used to be heading on out of Florida on interstate. Used to be, and every now and then you see a lot of good positive signs against abortion and things like that. Road signs I'm talking about, big billboards. But some man, I actually talked to him one time on the phone, because our church even put up one time. One of those billboards said this, very simple, few words, but the inner made a great message. And it said, there will be a test. On the bottom, signed God. Mm-hmm. It will be. There will be a test given by God. How will you fare? Well, I want to tell you something. You'll flunk it if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't answer it without him. There is no answer besides him. He loved you. He died for you. He paid the price for your sins. He said, whosoever cometh unto me, I'll in no wise cast out. That's an invitation. Whosoever, glad it didn't just call a few. It said, whosoever, that's me, that's you. I came when I heard the gospel a few times and received Christ. Have you ever done it? You've heard how he loved you and died for you and paid the price for you and asked you to come and receive him. The Bible says, as many as received him, unto them gave he power to become the sons of God. So what happens when a man walks a church aisle and trusts Christ? If he really trusts the Lord in his heart, his name is written on roll in heaven. Lamb's Book of Life is called in the Bible. His name is written there. You know what? He passed the test because Jesus passed it for him. Jesus paid the price for him. Man, have you ever done that? If not, there's nothing else that's going to get you through the questionnaire of God. Nothing else is going to cause you to pass the test. That's the answer. The Lord Jesus is the answer. Do you have him? Have you received him in your heart? If not, right now is a good time to do it. To leave that seat, come forward and say, "Preacher, I'll trust Christ. I believe on him. I'm not ashamed to call on him. And the scripture says that whosoever calleth on him, whosoever believeth shall not be ashamed. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That's the Bible. If you haven't done it, will you do it right now? Let's bow our heads. How many of you can say, "Preacher, I know what you're talking about, and thank God I know I'm saved. I received Christ. He passed the test for me." Can you say that by the uplifted hand this morning? Can you do it? Can you do it? All over the building. Thank you for those hands. You may put them down. My friend, are you here today and you say, "I was honest, I couldn't lift my hand. I've never received Christ. I don't know if I died today that I'd go to heaven." Would you slip that hand up for prayer? Heads are bowed. Christians are praying. I'm looking. God's looking. Do you care about your soul enough to lift your hand? I won't call your name if I knew it. I won't come to you. But I just ask you, would you lift your hand to be included in prayer? I care for my soul. Jesus said, "What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Would you lift that hand for prayer right now? Anywhere. Let's stand quietly, please. Father, we ask your blessing on the invitation. Lord, I pray for that soul that needs to come this morning. Lord, they've sinned. They've flunked it. They can't pay for their own sin. They can't pass the test. They're going to stand before you in judgment. I pray they'd come and get on the passing side by receiving Christ as Savior. Bless the invitation now, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing. I'm going to step to the front. Will you meet me right here? Will you come? Come on as we sing.
Just as I